Our scripture reading today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, Scripture is your word, and we approach it expectantly. Open our hearts and minds now to hear the word that you may have for us. And may the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On your way in today, in addition to the visiting celebrity, our former associate pastor, Junior McGarahan, and her husband, Dick, I hope that you had a chance to see what we are calling the Wall of 1,000 Thanks. We started making this last Sunday, and the plan is to add to it today. Outside the sanctuary in the Court of Flags are long panels with coffee cup-shaped cards tacked to them. Each card was written by someone to share what they're thankful for. Now, the coffee cup design had to do with our special coffee cafe, which, alas, was only last week. But the wall is still here, and it is awesome. Seeing what other people have written will make your day. And I want to remind you that the display is double-sided, so walk all the way around it and check out what has come from people's hearts onto those little cards. From the joy of marshmallows to being cured of cancer. Any one of us could put a lot of serious things up there, or a lot of small blessings, which in my case would include getting married before every life event had to have a hashtag, the invention and ironic naming of Oreo Thins, having children who have aged out of Dora the Explorer, thank you, expressions of kindness by alpha soccer moms to the rest of us mortal moms, gutsy Christian blogs that say things we can't quite bring ourselves to say, the addition of the National Zoo's panda cam, and the removal of the River Road speed camera. But after the service, I would invite you to write down what you are thankful for and to add a card to the display outside. If you've already written a card, feel free to write another. And let's see if hearing what the Apostle Paul is thankful for expands what we are thankful for. Counting our blessings gets to the heart of what Thanksgiving should be. The food and the company and the football are fun, especially when the football is played in snow. That is real football, people. But the most basic underlying purpose is to give thanks to God for his providence in our lives. Thanksgiving was not meant just for generic feelings of gratitude, but as an occasion to address God and thank God for the good things in our lives. When you ask people to name their blessings, very often they will tell you something that is connected to a life status, like being married and having a family, having a good job, or being in good health. These are what I would call counting your conventional blessings. They're big categories and they're easy to name. It's good and right and important to be aware of and grateful for these categorical blessings in our lives. But if we are honest, many of those big categories of blessing have upsides and downsides. We may be blessed to have living parents, a spouse, and children. But there are moments when we are not blessed by what they need and demand of us. There are times when marriage is not a happy blessing. There are seasons of parenting that can feel like a nightmare and very distinctly not like a blessing. And where do all those big life status categories leave people who don't fit into them? What about the single person, the person who's grieving, the couple struggling with infertility, the person battling cancer, the person who's unemployed and trying so hard to find a job? Where are the blessings in that? The reality is that every life category, whether it would be commonly defined as a blessing or not, has its own upsides and downsides. Being single has its upsides and downsides. Being childless may be a great sadness, or it may be something in which a person has found peace and opportunity, or both. Being financially well off can relieve stress and can create stress. Having a good job can be rewarding, or it can take a terrible toll on your family, or both. Battling health issues can bring highs and lows that no one else can imagine. Even simpler things like moving or having your kitchen remodeled or being in a new relationship can be a mix of joy and frustration and stress. And even really, really simple things, obvious things like having a refrigerator full of food, can be a mixed blessing. Know anyone who has a complicated relationship with food? What about having a house full of people for Thanksgiving? Know anyone who would really prefer not to cook and spend time with those relatives? There's a great meme going around the internet that says, "Thanksgiving, keeping therapists busy since 1621. I don't want to sound like the Grinch that stole Thanksgiving. In a world where so many people have fled their homes, lost family members, and don't have enough to eat, we do need to be grateful for everything. But today, I would like us to think about our blessings in an unconventional way. What are the blessings that aren't dependent on life circumstances or demographic status? What are the blessings that everyone can share? What are the blessings that aren't big, complicated balls of joy and stress rolled up together? What are the blessings that life changes can't take away? What are the blessings that will matter when we look back on them years later? To help us with that, we get to read a Thanksgiving letter from the Apostle Paul. Obviously, the American Thanksgiving holiday didn't exist in the first century AD. But people did write letters giving thanks. In that time, letters were the next best thing to being there. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to groups of people, so the letters he wrote were personal but not private, kind of like Facebook. People write personal things, but they're meant to be seen by a larger group of friends. One hopes that people understand that. Today, we get a glimpse of Paul's Thanksgiving post for his Philippian group, the people who were part of a Christian community that he founded in about 50 AD in the town of Philippi, which is in modern-day Greece. After this Christian community was established, Paul moved on, but he remained very fond of the people he had known there. They kept in touch with him and supported his work financially, and he wrote them letters back, which turned into this book of the Bible called Philippians. In this passage, which is actually called the Pauline Thanksgiving by scholars, we find a different model for counting our blessings. When we look at how Paul expresses gratitude, what he is thankful for, and what he wants for his friends, we will find a powerful way to experience gratitude in everyday life, no matter what our circumstances or life status categories are. The tone of Paul's Thanksgiving post to the Philippians is uplifting, affectionate, and joyful. He writes, "I thank God for you every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." Now, you might expect that kind of positive rah-rah energy and encouragement from a churchy friend and mentor, unless that mentor was in jail, unjustly, on a capital charge, which Paul was when he wrote this. His circumstances were not comfortable and they were not safe. He didn't have a family around. He had lost success in worldly terms to do this weird transient ministry job. And his future was highly uncertain at best. Surprisingly, the letter doesn't say, "Pull every string you can to get me out of here now." The letter's not even really about himself. Instead, Paul wrote the perfect Thanksgiving post. First and foremost, he expressed gratitude to God for his friends. And then he shared those words of affirmation with his friends. That's really simple, but it's the opposite of much of our internal and self-focused cultivation of gratitude. Paul externalized his thoughts or feelings of gratitude for the glory of God and for the encouragement of his friends. Meaningful gratitude isn't self-satisfaction. It's expression of appreciation. Think about that wall of 1,000 thanks. You already had those grateful thoughts. But when we express them together in a giant wall of praise, it makes a powerful statement to God and to one another. But what was Paul grateful for? How did he define a blessing to be counted? First, he was simply grateful for his friends in the Philippian community and for their sharing in the gospel. That phrase probably encompassed a lot of things, including their support for his work. But at a basic level, Paul was simply grateful to be part of a community of believers. To know that there are people you can go to and talk to who worship the same God is an anchor. To know that in a crazy world, there are people who at least share a somewhat similar understanding of that crazy world is a huge blessing that enfolds everyone here, regardless of your demographic status or your Democratic or Republican status. Paul felt connected to those friends and was truly grateful that those friends were there for him when he was sitting in jail. Even if you are just starting to get to know people here, or even if you're far away or watching online, you can be connected to other believers here. And we can be here for each other in good times and bad. Paul recognized that human connection is one of the most powerful blessings of all. "You hold me in your heart," he says. He wasn't related to those people who held him in their hearts. He wasn't of the same ethnicity. Sometimes he was with them in person, sometimes he wasn't. But the blessing was their God-given human connection in the body of Christ. I have lived long enough to know personally and to learn from your lives that meaningful human connections often defy categories and defy special occasions. The real blessings to be counted are often not in the status of our relationships, but in the moments that make up the relationships. In other words, maybe the blessing to be counted today isn't so much my husband, but the moment my husband did something that showed me love and consideration. Maybe the blessing to be appreciated today isn't parenthood as a category, but one pure, loving moment during the day with your kids. Maybe the blessing that brings gratitude to daily life isn't having friends in the aggregate sense, but that moment in the week when you shared tension-obliterating laughter with one of your friends. Maybe the blessing isn't your job per se, but the coworker who helps you get through the day, and preferably brings cookies. Maybe the people who hold you in their hearts are Christian friends you met in a faraway country, or maybe they're familiar strangers in a place you go to every week who recognize you and are just happy to see you when you come in. Counting these small blessings, the moments that make up our relationships, can help us to experience gratitude every day. Last but not least, Paul counted as a blessing that God was at work among his community and among his friends. "I am confident of this," he writes, "that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Christ Jesus." That's a very encouraging short-term view and a very encouraging long-term view. He meant that God has been at work in your lives. God is at work right now in you and among you. And God will be at work fulfilling his plans for the community and its people in his eternal kingdom. Paul knew that what was going on in his jail cell or at a church in Philippi was not the whole picture. God has a much, much bigger, longer-term view of our lives, of the church, and of our world than we do. That is a blessing that transcends circumstances and categories, and it's a blessing that becomes clearer and clearer when we look back on how God has been at work in our lives. That's a great thing to do at Thanksgiving. The final element in this Thanksgiving post from the Apostle Paul is when he shares his prayer for his friends. Not his prayer for himself, but his prayer for them. These are the additional blessings he hopes that God will bestow on his friends. Not one of them has to do with health or prosperity or family relationships or life being easy. What Paul wants for his friends, regardless of the categories in which they might put themselves, is a way of life. A fruitful way of life in which love overflows more and more, with knowledge and full insight to determine what is best. A fruitful Christian life should be obvious to the world for its love and wisdom. It will also be obvious to God when our lives produce a harvest of righteousness because we are blessed by Christ's righteousness. Now, that's a tall order that Paul prays for his friends. But he's asking for the blessing that will mean the most at the end of a person's life. To look back and see a life in which love overflowed and wisdom led to good choices. A life that ultimately blessed others and glorified God. What Paul wants for his friends in Philippi, God wants for us. We are his friends who share in the gospel. We are blessed to be in relationship with God because of Christ's righteousness. And we are blessed to be in close relationship with one another. God is at work in us and can bless the world through us. None of these things is the conventional type of blessing that gets mentioned if you go around the Thanksgiving table and ask people what they're thankful for. We tend to be thankful for the status we've achieved in life and the basic categories of relationship that make up our identity in the world's eyes. Of course, we should absolutely be grateful for our families, our freedom, our material comfort, and our health. But there is much more to counting our blessings than that. Counting our blessings should start with remembering where they came from and thanking God, who is the giver of every good gift. Counting our blessings should include expressing our appreciation out loud. And if we follow the Apostle Paul's model, the blessings that we count won't depend on life going our way. Instead, the blessings we count will include a supportive community of believers and all the people who hold us in their hearts. We will count as blessings all of their prayers and the small human connections among us that bring joy to our daily lives. We will count Jesus Christ as our greatest blessing, trusting that he is at work in us and among us. These are the unconventional blessings that make up the Christian life and that will stay with you, steady and rock solid. These are great reasons to give thanks today and always. Amen.